And currently 50 degrees in Bedford, 52 in Roanoke and Salem, 54 in Danville. That's the hot spot on the south side. Lynchburg, not quite there yet, 48 degrees. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful day, though.
You've been getting quite a few texts. You got quite a few people riled up in a good way.
That's good.
You've been called Sister Soldier.
Well, I just get so frustrated by people accepting what, you know, it doesn't matter if the world's trying to change the measuring stick, the yardstick. You have to define what is important to you and your family and your community, regardless of what the world has to say. And it all comes down to family. It really does.
It sure does. Yep. It sure do. Hey, we have our interview with Robert Cook. He's going to help break down, you know, some of the ins and outs of how the process worked on Saturday, how they came about it, how the different, he refers to them as units, I would say precincts, the different units in each community. And we know earlier than we thought, Janet. We thought we weren't going to know for a couple of days, but it appears that Youngkin is our nominee for the Republican Party.
Yeah.
So we had basically it was Youngkin, Snyder, and Chase was in third, and then the lieutenant governor and attorney generals. Those folks' names aren't familiar enough for me to just pull off the top of my head, but hopefully they will be come November because they've all won to turn things around. Hopefully in our state, that's what we're shooting for. Anyway, we're hoping for a big turnout, you know, come November. Because we really do need to do something to change the tide in Virginia. Because and you know we had lunch not that long ago with somebody who spoke highly of Glenn Youngkin, had met him and felt like he had a good ground game even in Northern Virginia, because we felt like Northern Virginia, you've got to make an impact. You might not win it, but you've got to have an impact up there to be able to pull off a win in this state now, just because that's just the way it is. So,
well, we'll take a look at the primary results. But in the meantime, we have an interview.
Yeah, we're going to do this now with Robert Cook. On the phone right now, we have Robert Cook. Robert has been following all the voting that went on Saturday. Of course, Janet, you were part of that voting for the ranked voting, as it's called, for the gubernatorial race coming up for attorney general, lieutenant governor, and governor in the Republican Party anyways. Robert, how are you doing? And tell us how you think things went on Saturday.
I'm doing quite well. At least where I was up in Verona helping out with the voting site there, things went pretty smoothly on the ground.
Well, there seemed to be a few folks that were a little bit confused about the ranked voting. I like the idea of ranked voting. I wish that would move more into the national foray of things. I think it would help as people are becoming disenchanted with both the Republican and Democratic parties. But what are your thoughts on ranked voting?
It allows a person who's voting to prioritize who they want their ballot to go to first, right? So, for example, say you wanted candidate A, but you also like candidate B, and you didn't want candidate C, you could just vote candidate A, and then B is your second choice. And then if A loses and C doesn't have enough to win, your vote still goes to B. So the idea is that it allows your vote to count all the way up until a majority is decided.
So as you shake this out, like you have a first round, maybe in a second round, or even a third round, Give us like, let's just say I voted for, I'm just going to pick randoms here that I did, Youngkin first, and then Amanda Chase second, and then Snyder third. If all those would count if it goes to a second round or a third round, so one of my votes is going to count somewhere. Is that basically what we're saying?
Yeah. So if you put Youngkin first in your hypothetical, then as long as Youngkin's in the race, your vote counts for Youngkin, right? And then if, let's say, he were eliminated because he took last in one of the counts, then it would go to your second choice, which in your hypothetical you said Chase, and then it would stick with Chase until she were eliminated, and then it would go to Snyder, like that. So it would follow, your vote would only go to one candidate, but as long as you have, as long as your first choice is there, it goes to that first choice. And then once your first choice is out, then it goes to your second choice.
Okay.
And so it ensures,
And they're doing
your vote goes to the candidate you want most.
And they do this statewide. They're not doing it at each, let's call them precincts. They're gathering all the votes for the whole state, and they're doing it in that process. Would that be correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And this is the first time, really, we've done it this way.
Yeah, this is the first time that it's been done for the Democrats or the Republicans. Maine does a ranked choice for their elections for, like, Congress and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But for Virginia, this is definitely our first.
Do you think once COVID gets behind us, God willing, do you see this particular format staying in place?
It definitely has the potential. The reason why we chose it for this convention was it replaces how in a normal convention when you're face-to-face, and usually the majority is the decision, like normally you would stay through the first round and then you would do a whole revote.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why we did it was because you can't get all the delegates to come back and revote again. That would be crazy, right? So
right.
I can see this potentially, like, especially if there's few complaints about how this goes in the counting process. I can see this potentially sticking around for other options. Not sure how it would go for, say, other conventions or things like that.
Okay.
But it all depends on how the reaction to the results comes in.
Okay. We're on the phone with Robert Cook. He currently serves on the 6th District GOP Executive Committee. Robert, if this format changes, or stays rather, how do you think we can see the system improve a little bit? Janet was noticing last week that it seemed like Glenn Youngkin's website had all these really cool drop downs to make it easy to navigate where you would be voting if you were in a particular area. How do you see the GOP statewide making the process a little easier the next time?
That's a good question. So the tricky thing with, like I mentioned last time, each unit has their own deadlines that they set up and their own process. And so what candidates tried to do is try to sort of step in and say, if you file through us, we'll do the filing for you, mm-hmm. right? And so that had some pros and had some cons. On the pro end, it made it easier for some delegates to file, right? Because then the candidate would help process it for them. But I know a couple delegates, one of my friends who voted over all the way over in Powhatan County, mm-hmm. he had a Powhatan address. But because he lives near the Chesterfield border, the campaign he filed with thought it was a Chesterfield person. They filed it under Chesterfield.
Okay.
And so that caused a whole lot of confusion.
Sure.
So trying to simplify the process from a convention format, it's tricky because on the one hand, you still need to respect that each unit has their own procedure because they're their own separate unit. But on the other hand, you do want that ease of access, kind of like how the Youngkin campaign or the Cox campaign or all these other campaigns will file delegates. So really, if we're going to make this easier, it's going to take better coordination between the candidates and the party
okay.
in terms of how to streamline those delegate filings.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
As long as the people in the hierarchy are kind of saying, okay, it was a little clunky. You know, I just like after any event, Jan and I have been involved in big events over the years.
Yeah.
You have a debrief. Mm-hmm. You debrief and say what was good, what
yep.
was bad, what
yeah.
was what
post-mortem.
Was,
yeah.
Well, yeah. What makes it better next
right.
time? And better means, I think, easier access.
Yep. Particularly if we do decide to do a convention next time, right? Just finding a way because like we had 53,000 delegates, and on the one
yeah.
hand, it was impressive that we were able to handle that kind of volume
sure.
From a party basis instead of doing it through the primary. But on the other hand, it is a lot. And so there is going to be a postmortem. I know 6th District, we're going to do one in the next couple of weeks just to assess and be like, all right, well, in these locations, what didn't? And so we're going to take the lessons that we learned from this and try to figure out how to make it better.
Gotcha.
Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We really do appreciate it. And we look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you. Have a good one.
7:15. Robert Cook trying to help, you know, us understand a little bit better.
Right.
Unpacking it a little bit some.
And we're still waiting on the lieutenant governor.
We are.
Official
we are.
Word on that. So we'll
okay.
get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. Alan on the line.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I just wanted to clarify myself from yesterday. I did try to be a delegate, but I didn't get there in time. And if they would just go on the Republican of Virginia Facebook page and look at all the people that are upset at the system that we had this time and just listen to people. All I want them to do is just to listen to people. And because I don't even think Trucker Bob voted. I mean, we had a system set up where only, like, what, 20,000 people voted out of a million or some that Republicans in the state. I mean, I think you're discouraging minorities and stuff, too, to vote in a Republican thing. I mean, we should,
why would we want
everybody to vote.
Why do you think they discourage minorities? Why do you think it discouraged minorities?
I looked at the thing last night, the video of them counting the votes and everything last night. It looked like a bunch of white people there, you know, just regular white. I didn't see any minorities, you know. I'm like,
what?
But if we had the thing where you could go to vote like normal, like my dad said, he said 74 years, he has never seen them do that before. He's always went to the poll and voted in the spring for the candidate that he wanted for governor. And I agree.
But you understand they're trying to keep, in the past, they have had people from the Democratic Party come in and vote to try to tamper with the nominee that ended up getting the GOP nomination.
Well, agreed, but I don't want somebody to tell me, you're going to sign a paper saying you're a Republican. Maybe I want to vote for the Democrat if they're
You don't have to sign a paper.
I've been a Republican my whole life.
Okay.
Let's just get to say that. But I want to have the option if there's a Tulsi Gabbard out there or something. I don't want to write down and say, hey, I might, if Tulsi Gabbard run against Glenn Youngkin, I would probably vote for her, you know, but that's what I'm saying. But I used to could go out to the poll at 6 o'clock in the morning, be there, done, and then I can go to work. Mm. This whole thing was just a nightmare and a mess. And if the Republicans will look at their own Facebook page, they will see how many people are upset about it. You know, that's what I'm saying. I want more. Why just have it for 20,000 people? Why not have a million people vote? You know,
because a million people didn't sign up.
That guy called me an idiot yesterday for. Basically said I was dumb, and I've voted in every single election and every single primary since 1987, I think. So why would you exclude me? Why would you try to exclude
but
me?
You weren't because you weren't excluded. You told us on the air that you had signed up to be a delegate and you had helped your parents sign up. You said that on the air.
No, I meant that I tried to sign up. And then I got my application turned down because I didn't get it turned in then.
In time, okay.
You know, so
all right.
You know.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry you had that experience. That's not a good experience. But it wasn't. It was over 30,000 people that actually got out and registered.
Why wouldn't we want everybody vote? Why wouldn't we want?
Would it be that we could get that many people out to vote? Mm-hmm. But if with primaries,
yeah,
that's not the case.
Look what we got. We got Glenn Youngkin, another old rich white guy like Terry McAuliffe. So what did we get? I mean, this guy has no charisma. You know, I mean, why? It's beyond me. I mean, this guy is about as milquetoast as you can get, and it's just no enthusiasm for him at all.
Well, you know what? We better work some up because he's our candidate.
Hey, thanks for calling in. We've got another.
Okay, guys, y'all have a good day.
You too. We got another caller on the line here, Janet.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Oh.
Morning, Salty.
Hey, Salty.
Oh, good morning. Oh my gosh, I got so much to talk about, Janet.
You do? Oh, did you have a have a good weekend? We didn't hear from you yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where to start. I think I better start with the good. Do you want the good or bad first?
How about the beginning?
I want the good.
All right. Well, I took your five and dime to a new level yesterday. I'm afraid, Janet.
You did? Uh-oh. Did you make my barbecue sauce?
Well, it didn't quite come out like barbecue sauce. It's more like a topping for your ice cream.
Oh, no. You don't put barbecue sauce on ice cream.
Not like anything on ice cream.
Like ice cream too, Mark. I do too, but I don't know if you'd been able to handle this. It's more like you know what I get down there in Rocky Mount from my cousin.
Oh, boy.
Salty! Now, my recipe yesterday was for a cherry chipotle barbecue sauce. Now, you tell me how that went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Janet, what I did is all I heard when you were talking about that cherry Chipotle. All I heard was the bourbon and the cherries.
Oh, Lord.
Of course.
Okay, no. So what I meant was, if you couldn't get regular cherries, you could do dried cherries, and then you could rehydrate them. And if you want a little kick, you could put some bourbon in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I rehydrated them all right. Oh, my gosh. I had to drink some water after I let that stuff sit out there in the sun for a little while.
Lord.
Mason jar.
So you just did bourbons and cherry.
He heard what he wanted.
I never got past getting my cherries revived, Janet.
I think you tasted a little too soon.
About trying bourbon in the cherries, I never got to the rest of the recipe.
You know, Mark, I think you called that after the show yesterday.
I knew he was going to get stuck on the bourbon. I told you he's going to get stuck just on the bourbon.
What, Mark? I just tasted one of them cherries, and I thought, man, this should be good on vanilla ice cream.
Of course you did.
Yeah, well, it probably is. That's definitely an adult sundae, though.
Yeah, an adult beverage.
It was definitely 21 or older, Janet. No doubt about it.
For sure.
Salty ain't ate a whole half gallon ice cream for the last 15 years.
Oh, my.
And he did this
so
weekend.
The good news was you butchered my five and dine. So what's the bad news then?
Yeah, give us the bad.
I wouldn't go as far as bringing Todd Ramsey into it. He butchers. I didn't butcher it.
Oh, butchers. Okay.
You're supposed to go to him, get your butchered meats, grill them, and then use my sauce. That's what you're supposed to do.
There you go.
It didn't work out that way, Janet. I just figured I've got some really good oats and cherries. Now I'm going to maybe use them for something else. I come up with my own five and dime.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you did. That's true.
But that's really not why I called, even though it is a sweet and definitely a good treat, if you know what I mean.
Okay, yeah. I do. Mm-hmm. All right.
So why did you call, Salty?
Mark, I called in about Alan.
What about Alan?
What the hell was that boy thinking yesterday?
Whoa, jeez, Salty.
Well, he was having trouble.
Janet, he got me so confused. I was glad I went on Saturday and did my vote. And I got my vote in.
Oh, good for you. You
signed up to be a delegate, too. Did Miss Salty sign up, too?
I did, me and Miss Salty.
Okay. So you didn't have any trouble.
I'm impressed.
We did it. We called it the stacked and packed.
Brother.
Take your mind down that road, Mark.
I'm not going there.
We're not talking about Dolly Parton.
Oh, jeez. Come on, Salty.
We're talking about stacking and packing. The three different people I voted for.
Who'd you vote for, Salty?
I'm proud of you.
I'm not going to tell you. It's private.
Oh,
we're
going
to find out in the next couple of days, I reckon.
Fair enough.
Who won? But I went in and Janet, I just had to do my top three. That's pretty easy. That's easier than playing the lottery. Picking your top three.
Yeah, pick three. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm very proud of you. Good job. So what time did you go?
Well, you know, I was there a little afternoon, and I run into this nice young man. He was wearing a WIQO hat.
Oh.
That was probably Matt.
Matt?
Yes, it was Matt.
Okay.
It was Matt.
Oh, we've got to get this. Yeah,
he was the nicest boy, I swear.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why y'all don't talk about him more.
Well, we love Matt.
We have the exclusive with Matt.
Well, he's a nice young man. I figured we was going to be down there a while, and we was there at lunch. So I just brought me some, Chex Mix with me, and I give Matt some because he looked hungry.
Well, Matt's always hungry.
Yeah, that's the truth.
I got to admit, he grabbed two or three more handfuls than I was intending to give him, Janet.
Sounds like Matt.
Well, you know, he's like a cat. If you feed him too much, he'll never go away.
Well, yeah, I can believe that. But he was a nice young man, and I had a question, too, and I asked him, and he helped me. So you got a good one there.
Yep. Yeah, he's a good fella.
Yep, he is.
Smart guy.
I just wanted to tell Alan, I thought he'd unregistered. That's what I heard on the radio.
Yeah, well, that was our understanding, too, but apparently that didn't work out. But we're glad that you and Mrs. Salty went.
Oh, yeah. Well.
And I'm glad you didn't go with bourbon barbecue sauce on your breath.
Well, we're going to have, there's some left, Janet. I can run it over there to you, but you got to refrigerate it, that's for sure.
Bring it on, Salty.
That sounds like it. Well, we're glad you called in this morning.
Well, it's always good to talk to you and sometimes Mock.
Yeah, well, it's a mixed bag, Salty.
I love you guys. We'll see you later.
All right, you have a good one.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
This is Randy Trost, and at Trost Law, we put family first. We understand situations involving attorneys can often be confusing and scary. That's why we take time to sit down with our clients, listen to them, and go the extra mile to make sure they understand every step we take. We won't keep you waiting days or weeks to answer your questions or return your calls. That's not how we treat family, and that's not how we treat our clients. We mean it when we say, let our family help your family. If you're in need of legal assistance, contact us at trostlaw.com.
Attention! This is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-506-9619. 800-506-9619. That's 800-506-9619.
Join us every Friday morning on the Virginia Talk Radio Network as we bring you the Community Spotlight, brought to you by the Greater Lynchburg Community Foundation.
The Greater Lynchburg Community Foundation is proud to have been able to present grants to local nonprofits since 1972. This year alone, we will provide over $2 million in grant money to around 175 deserving organizations.
The Community Spotlight, Friday mornings right here on this Virginia Talk Radio Network station.
7:29, it's the Morning Jam. We have a short segment here because the last one went pretty long there. Cherry bomb and Salty. Anyway, we've got Eric on the line. He wants to talk about some of the numbers that were happening in Lynchburg on Saturday. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, good morning. At that Tree of Life Ministries, the numbers I saw was over 1,700 delegates went in and voted. They offered curbside service, and you could walk in and vote in person at a row of tables.
Okay.
And I was under the impression that it went rather well. The traffic flow was coordinated. They had overflow parking because there was a big surge at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
And after that, it kind of moderated out. And most of the day, you could walk in without waiting, vote, and walk right out.
We didn't have any trouble.
Yeah, that sounds great.
There was a whole bunch of guys in really nice green hats there directing traffic. They did a really good job.
Oh, cool. Well, good deal. Hey, well, appreciate
those. All right, y'all have a good day.
Hey, thank you, Eric. Really appreciate you giving us those numbers.
Let's be clear. Nobody's calling Alan a liar.
Right.
But because he said on the air he had signed up to be a delegate, it gave the impression that that was a done deal.
Right.
Not that he had signed up but didn't finish the process.
Right.
So
I got you.
So no one's calling him a liar.
Right.
But when you say you signed up to be a delegate, that sounds like the process is done.
Is finished, right, sure.
So no one's saying anybody's a liar.
Okay.
We're just saying there was a failure to communicate.
There you go.
That's all I'm saying. Niecy Payne's on the way. She's a great communicator. We'll have that and the local stories that impact you here on the Morning Jam.
CBS News Brief. The FDA authorizes the Pfizer COVID vaccine for kids as young as 12.
You know, this is a big step for our country. Vaccinating a younger population brings us closer to returning to a sense of normalcy and to ending the pandemic.
Acting Commissioner Janet Woodcock. Ouch, that fuel pipeline hack attack is starting to make itself felt. Here's CBS's Jeff Pegues.
The country's largest oil refinery in Texas has scaled back operations, and the shortage of jet fuel could impact several airports if the situation is not resolved soon.
Colonial Pipeline hopes to be back up by the end of the week. The FBI is blaming an Eastern European crime ring for the ransomware attack. At least 8 dead in a school shooting in Russia.
Reports suggest at least one gunman opened fire inside School 175. Emergency services and police rushed to the scene in the city of Kazan. Security forces stormed the building.
The BBC's Steve Rosenberg, one arrest, reportedly a former student. CBS News Brief, I'm Vicki Barker.
Good morning, I'm Niecy Payne in the WDBJ 7 newsroom with your Virginia Talk Radio Network news update. A man wanted out of Rocky Mount on multiple charges, including second-degree murder, was arrested. The arrest was made yesterday on the 700 block of Forest Street in Martinsville. Richard Lee Hannon Jr. was arrested after answering his door. He's being held at the Martinsville City Jail until further notice. Danville city leaders say the white mill building will be turned into apartments and commercial space. The Wisconsin-based Alexander Group will invest $62 million to convert the former mill into 150 apartments and over 1,000 square feet of commercial space. And a new flea market is coming to the same spot where Happy's Flea Market used to be on Williamson Road in Roanoke. It will be called Happier Days, and vendor spots are already being sold on a first-come, first-served basis. The goal is to have the flea market up and running no later than the beginning of June. I'm Niecy Payne. Join us for WDBJ 7 Morning from 4:30 until 7 each weekday morning.
I wonder why. Maybe it's the all-wheel drive system, or maybe it's the great safety features, or I know, it's the reliability. You know, it could be the 0% financing available, or I bet it's the Terry Promise, the lifetime powertrain warranty. I wonder why all these people are buying new Subarus from Terry Subaru. I guess it could be any of these great reasons, but I have a suggestion. When you're in the market for your next new car, why not come to Terry Subaru and see for yourself? Terry Subaru in Lynchburg. You'll love our cars.
VOCs are volatile organic compounds. What are they? They are nasty chemicals, vapors, and odors in the air you breathe in your home. Ever heard of sick building syndrome? Well, VOCs are a part of the problem for that. And the HVAC system in your home just circulates them around and around. A typical air filter does not do the job. That's why you need to call Terrell E. Mosley. They have solutions to help rid your home of the VOCs so you can enjoy breathing clean, fresh air. Call Terrell E. Mosley today and let them help you have perfect air in your home.
Right now from Shentel, you can get high-speed internet for as low as $20 a month for 2 months when bundled. And add on a free $50 gift card. Plus, we're including huge savings on TV and home phone. And the savings continue the more services you add. Don't forget free installation. It truly is the best time to switch and save. Act now. Get a $50 gift card free. But hurry, this unheard-of Shentel offer ends soon. So call 1-800-SHENTEL today. Restrictions and conditions apply. New customers only. Equipment taxes, surcharges, and other fees apply. Offer may expire without notice.
It's time for your Morning Jam forecast, brought to you by WDBJ7.
I'm meteorologist Brent Wyatt. Sunshine today. Look for a high near 70. Turning partly to mostly cloudy tonight. Cool. Lows at 45. Sunshine returning on Wednesday with a high of 67 and a low of 42. Thursday, mostly sunny. Highs at 71. And we can't rule out a stray shower as we head into Thursday night. Lows in the mid-40s. But sunshine coming back on Friday with a high near 70 degrees.
52 degrees in Bedford, in Lynchburg, in Alta Vista, and Amherst. 54 in Roanoke and Salem. 54 in Danville.
All right. Haven't reached that 60 quite yet, but we're going to get there. I believe it. Yesterday, we talked about, you know, it got pretty warm. I wasn't supposed to be out there doing any physical work yesterday.
Was that
the rule? I stayed in my nice clothes all day yesterday.
Look at you.
Yeah. But I ended up getting involved for a little while.
Did you do any of your workout in preparation for your Zoom?
Gosh, we haven't even talked about that.
Your Zoom?
Yeah, I forgot about that whole interview that we did where I said I was going to do the Zoom-a-thon.
You forgot that.
Yeah.
Hey, you know who didn't forget?
Oh, no, you and my wife.
Me. I didn't forget.
Because you guys are working on some... I'm not allowed to say stupid.
I've been
some silly Richard Simmons outfit.
It's not silly.
Okay.
I have done a great deal of research on your outfit. Thank you very much.
I'm sure you have. Okay.
Got my bedazzler out and everything. So we're good. Some local stories impacting you this morning. FEMA is funding has ordered funding for Central Virginia counties impacted by that February ice storm. They have approved the use of federal funding for repair and replacement cost that was accrued. That hit the state between February 10th and the 13th. And that was the time that Central Virginia was put under its first ever ice storm warning. It knocked out the power for hundreds of thousands of people, some remaining without power for over a week. We had lots of listeners impacted by that.
Yeah.
And it will be made available to help with the Commonwealth, tribal, and local recovery efforts. Some nonprofits may also qualify for that. The eligibility for funding includes Appomattox, Bedford, Campbell, Charlotte, Floyd, Franklin, and Halifax, as well as Pennsylvania, among others.
Okay. Centra Health is acknowledging 7,500 caregivers by celebrating National Hospital Week. Their theme is Healthcare Heroes, to recognize the efforts of every department putting together the fight against the pandemic. Centra's footprint covers, listen to this, over 8,000 square miles with four hospital campuses. And the week-long celebration will include, drum roll please,
yes,
Superhero Day. And the Superhero Day, and I consider myself a superhero because of what they're going to go eat. They're going to get a pancake breakfast, a parade, and a cookout. Can I be a superhero just for a day?
Hey, I'm working on your outfit. So
from the, yes, the Zumba.
Yes, you can. Your wife and I have decided the shorts aren't quite short enough.
Oh, no, I saw the shorts yesterday. This is exactly what I said. Those are too short. And she said, no, they're not.
No, they're not. I sent you the picture of the inspiration. I sent you that last night. Did you not get it?
I did not.
Well. Maybe brother. I'll put it up. Maybe I'll put it up on.
That's all right. I'll wear sweatpants underneath, and it won't matter. I said you can't see. Oh my gosh. Ooh, that's icky.
Now those are really short. Those are like circa 1982 NBA shorts.
David Wall's in the studio from WSCT. The sports guy can verify that those are the old style shorts, aren't they, David?
Oh yeah. Oh, I love those.
I'd make my boys go back and watch, you know, Bird and some of those guys play when they were playing basketball, and they could not. It took them several games to even get past the length of the shorts.
Looks painful, doesn't it?
It does look. It looks a little bit painful.
Like you might bring your singing up.
Why are they wearing those? Why? And I'm like, because everybody wore them. That was the style.
Yeah. And now they hang out, you know, past their knees or whatever.
Yeah, but that's not what you're going to have on Thursday. Anyway, we digress.
Yeah. Dave Hurd is in the studio. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. And the Medina Spirits horse who won the Kentucky Derby.
Right.
And I figured what better guy to bring in than a sports guy
right.
to talk about what happened. First of all, though, just for some of those that maybe aren't in the loop, it's all in question now because of some, after the blood test done on the horse, they found some, you know, what was it, a pain reliever of some sort?
Yeah, it's kind of like a cortisone shot for horses. And Kentucky allows it, but it has to be out of their system by the time the race happens. So basically they can't get an injection. I think it's 14 days within the race. And apparently they had done something within 14 days. Gotcha. At least that's the allegation.
So didn't they test before the race?
Well, they can test, again, so they can... It'll still be in their system, you know, but they have time to clear it out. But I don't know what they do day of, and that's the real question here. So
we're going
to
hear from the trainer, and then we'll come back and talk about this.
Okay, I got a call from Jimmy Barnes. I was headed to the airport, and I got some horrible news. He said he had some horrible news for me that he's just been served by the Kentucky Race Commission that Medina Spirit, our Derby horse, had been tested positive for 21 picograms of betamethasone. And all I can tell you is that betamethasone, even though it's an allowed drug, therapeutic medication, we did not give it. My veterinarian, nobody here, we that matter of fact, Medina Spirit has never been treated with betamethasone. So I cannot believe that I'm here before you guys. I never thought I'd be here. Yesterday, I got the biggest gut punch in racing for something that I didn't do. And this is really...
And he continues to go on there. That's the trainer. And he's apparently...
He's alleging that it's either been faked or that somebody else slipped in and did it?
It's complicated because he doesn't really have a history of doping horses. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some trainers who have been busted for this type of thing over and over
before.
Again.
Right?
Yeah, and he's had very minor violations. You know, one horse last year got tested positive for a cough syrup almost.
Yeah.
So little minor things, but he's not the type of owner who has had these big allegations, you know. So
people might have a tendency to take him as a more credible person if they come back and say, oh my gosh, I would never do this.
Right. But at the same time, he had a horse in a different race, I believe in 2020 in Kentucky, not the Kentucky Derby, but another similar styled race that was found to have had that steroid within. And it turns out the trainer didn't realize he had a race coming up so soon and admitted it and took the punishment. But certainly nothing to this, you know, in all his years, this is only the second time this has ever come up. And he says, and the trainer also says that it didn't happen. So now they're going to have to do another retest and they're going to have to look and see what's still left in the horse's blood.
I mean, how long does that even last?
Yeah, well, I think the thing is, they say the horse can't receive any more treatments like that after 14 days from the race. So you say 2 weeks. I think if up to that, if the horse receives the treatment, it should be out of their blood by the time the race comes up. So the fact that there was any left in the bloodstream at all, you know, that's certainly a red flag.
Now we've got the Preakness coming up next. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah, we go to Baltimore for the Preakness, and then usually it's 3 weeks after that you go up to New York for the Belmont to finish out the Triple Crown.
So, what do you think this does for the prospects for Medina to run in the Preakness?
You know, that's a great question. Because now you don't know if that horse is even going to be in the Preakness. You know, because if there's nothing, a lot of owners, if their horse didn't win the Kentucky Derby, they'll pull them out of the Preakness and say, let's go for the big race, because the Belmont's the big mile and a half race. That's the one that really tests the horse out. So if you didn't win the Kentucky Derby, usually just skip the Preakness, rest your horse up, and take him to New York, because that's really the second crown jewel next to the Kentucky Derby.
I'm more familiar with NASCAR. All right. People that race with engines.
See, I love both, but I actually grew up in Wilmington, Delaware, about a half mile away from Delaware Park.
So
on the weekends, that was the first sporting event my dad would ever take me, is to see the harness racing. So I grew up a little bit around horses. So I love it. Yeah.
So the commission, because I know how NASCAR, they seem to work pretty fast. Does the commission that stays, you know, that I don't know what's even called.
Right.
The commission for these horse races. Are they a group that would address this, and this is what they're going to be on? So maybe by the middle, which is tomorrow, the middle of the week, we'll know whether that horse can race again in the Preakness or they're going to wait.
Each state has kind of their own racing commission. Right. So you go to New York, Kentucky, everybody has different rules and regulations. Kentucky, though, is pretty much a standard bearer, though, because of having the Kentucky Derby.
Sure.
So what they kind of do is pretty much the same as what New York does and those type of things. So they're moving pretty quickly on this, again, because the Preakness comes up so quickly.
Sure.
And you got all these other horses. I mean, there's a $1.86 million prize pool that's kind of sitting out there, and they haven't released it. And yet, you got the second place horse out there going, hey, did we win or not? We don't know what we're preparing for either. Yeah.
How about the bets that were placed?
Oh.
Is that complicated?
You know,
and those are paid out day of, right?
Now, here's where it gets complicated. Once that race gets deemed official, quote unquote, the bets are locked in, they're final.
Okay.
So you might remember, I think it was a year or two ago, there was another horse, Maximum Spirit, something along those lines. Maximum, I can't, it's morning, I'm not used to mornings.
Yeah,
but,
I'm sorry.
But there was a horse a few years ago that got that won the race, but within about 5 minutes of the race finished, before it went official, they did an inquiry and they saw, oh, this horse bumped into other horses, impeded them, and they disqualified it on the spot.
Okay.
That's the case where they can say, okay, well, if you bet on the horse we just disqualified, you lose and everybody else moves up a spot.
Sure.
Here, now, once the race has been official, you know, they can change the result and say this horse won, but the bets have already been paid out
so
at this point.
That's a done deal.
That's a done deal. You know, and if you bet on that second place horse, that horse went off at 27-1.
Oh,
so you
got to
be, so for every dollar, you're winning $27.
Wow.
There's other bets like the Superfecta where there's other horses that are 40-1 you could have gotten paid. So there was a lot of money,
sure,
a lot of unhappy bettors out there.
And how old was this horse, Medina Spirit?
Two or three.
Okay.
It's usually the age range. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So do you have any minus Medina Spirit possibly in the Preakness? Do you have a choice that you're following?
The one I was looking at was Essential Quality. He was another sprinter. He went off a 3-1 in the Kentucky Derby and got third.
Okay.
Got caught up in a little bit of traffic early in the race. But, sure. You know, against similar style races, Preakness and Kentucky Derby. So that would be the one I'd look out for. Again, But then again, that whole strategy, sometimes these horses, you know, if you don't win the Kentucky Derby, you rest them up and you try to go for the big show later on. Sure. So wait and see. But that would be the one if from the Kentucky Derby they cross over. I still like that one.
When's the last time we had a Triple Crown winner?
You know, we had a nice string of them for a while, and now it's been a couple years. Okay. You know, the mid-2010s, we had a couple in a row. Remember, we went through about a 3-4 decade gap where we didn't have any, and then all of a sudden, boom, 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 we had a couple right away with American Pharoah starting it off and going from there. So it's been a couple years, but, you know, that's it. That's what makes it exciting. You never know. We kind of dangle them out there for a couple weeks and see if they can make it.
Sure. Yeah. Dave Hurd from WSCT, the sports guy, sportscaster. Really appreciate it. We were reminiscing how we were involved at another station doing some stuff in 1998. Who'd have thunk it? We'd still be around.
Here we are.
And in front of microphones. So such a blessing to have you, Dave. And tell us when you can be seen at Channel 13, because I know they have early news now. It's 5:30 some cases.
I basically sleep at the station. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know the drill. You know how it goes. Now every night it's 6 and 11, you'll also see me pre-recorded in the morning doing sports updates there as well.
Sure.
So that's Monday. I mean, 7 days a week. I'm you'll find me in some show in some form. But yeah.
Well, we appreciate you coming in today.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Dave Walls from WSET.
He's the Bobby Flay of our local.
Yeah, there you go.
He's in everything. He's on every show.
He's got a cot right next to his booth there at the studio.
That's right, with Nacho, his cat.
There you go. Janet and I will be back with some more news stories for you.
I got a good story for you.
Oh,
you're
good.
You're going to like it.
Oh, I'd like that. Sounds good. It's the Morning Jam.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
Hi, I'm Sherry Brady with Apex Home Loans. With all the talk about today's low interest rates, you may have wondered whether now might be a good time for you to refinance your home loan. If so, I would love to talk with you about it and discover how I can best help you. I'll create an in-depth analysis for you, comparing your current loan to several refinance options and taking into consideration your long and short-term plans. Then I'll make recommendations to you as to what I believe the best solution would be to accomplish your goals. I have more than 20 years' experience helping people obtain the best home loan possible, and I would love to help you too. Ready to explore your options? Then visit our website at lynchburglender.com to connect with me online, or you can call or text me directly at 434-238-8984. Again, that's online at lynchburglender.com, or call or text me at 434-238-8984.
Sherry Brady, NMLS ID 217258. Apex Home Loans, NMLS ID 2884. NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Have you heard about Liberty University's one-of-a-kind scholarship? Students from families that typically make $35,000 to $95,000 annually probably won't qualify for the federal Pell Grant, which provides vital funds for college. Our Middle America Scholarship, when combined with the Liberty Champion Award, will match the Pell Grant, a value of over $20,000 in 4 years. Want to know more? Text MAS to 49596 for more information. Again, that's MAS to 49596.
The end of the DSLR? I'm Brian Cooley from CNET in search of the next big thing. Sony has announced it's ending production of DSLRs, the big high-end digital cameras that usually spell the best to most of us, and typified by that little prism on the top of a camera. This goes along with the sunsetting of DSLR development over at Canon and Nikon, rounding out the big three. Now, Sony, like others, is moving toward mirrorless cameras that tend to be more compact but are still at the cutting edge of high-end photography for most of us. My CNET colleague Stephen Shanklin says the advantages of mirrorless cameras start with more accurate and faster autofocus, and even technology that can follow where you are looking in the viewfinder and automatically make that the focus point. And mirrorless cameras make almost no noise compared to the iconic clack of a DSLR. And they tend to shoot great video, Most of my videos on CNET you may have seen in the last couple of years were shot on one. And perhaps best of all, a mirrorless camera tends to be a lot lighter than a big bulky DSLR. Know what's next at CNET.
Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
On the Tuesday night, Wednesday morning show, President Biden still wants to spend trillions of dollars on infrastructure. But according to Mitch McConnell, not one GOP member in the Senate will vote for it.
And Eric, gas prices hit $5 a gallon in California.
Red Eye Radio, overnights from 2 to 5, only on your Virginia Talk Radio network.
7:51, it's the Morning Jam. Mark Lamb here with you, along with my co-host, Janet Rose. It's always fun to show up to work, working with such a professional. I'm sure she's got different feelings about...
Oh, I thought you were talking about our guest.
No, I thought I was talking about you and our guest.
Ah.
It's so good to see Dave, and he's doing well over there at Channel 13.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
He was a young man. He still is a young man in my eyes. But when I first met him years ago at another station. So,
oh my goodness!
But it's good to talk to him about this. I'm interested in this whole, and I'm not a big horse fan. Although I've gone to a few horse races in my time, they are fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm kind of by horse races like I am the zoo. Mm-hmm. I just want to go and let them all out. Run free! Go! Black Beauty! So I have a little bit. I have to fight that a little bit.
Right. I'll tell you, when I watched Seabiscuit, and that was an amazing movie, and then Secretariat.
Oh, yeah, that was a great movie.
Oh, my gosh. I cried.
I could not watch War Horse, though.
I haven't seen that one.
I couldn't do it. Yeah. I mean, maybe it ends well. I don't know. But you know how I struggle with some of those things.
I know.
So today I had posted, I just know I'll die trying to pet something I shouldn't. Because I'm pretty sure that's how I'm going to go.
Right, right.
I mean, I try to do it and make sense. So let me just say, it's a good thing I don't live in Houston. A tiger apparently was spotted on the loose in a Houston neighborhood on Sunday night. And, it led to a tense
confrontation.
Houston's
pretty densely populated.
As you could imagine.
Right, right.
You know, I don't think I would try to go pet the tiger, although if he seemed friendly, it could happen. The big cat with
a
collar.
Janet.
It's Mama
Janet. I'm not here to hurt you.
Come on, I got a nice steak for you. Don't eat my dog. The big cat with a collar was roaming around.
Oh, he had a collar.
He had a collar
on.
Oh,
my gosh.
Oh, for sure.
This is domesticated.
Yeah, someone's doing something they shouldn't do in Houston. Imagine that. He was roaming around with a collar on, but nobody could get close enough to see who to call. Anyway, about 8 p.m. when the unidentified, apparently armed man yells to another man to take the tiger inside. Really? Get the back inside, you and your tiger.
Wow. Wow.
The man can be heard saying while training the apparent weapon at the animal, according to the video posted on social media. The other man, who claims to be the owner, replies, "I'll get him, I'll get him." In another video, a woman shelters inside her home. I have to tell you, the guy with the gun is so panicky, I would rather take on the tiger,
I think, than be around him.
Mm. The 911 call, "There is a freaking Bengal tiger roaming in this yard. This dude needs to be careful. What the heck? Why is there a tiger?"
The apparent owner
eventually grabs the tiger and brings it back inside his home.
Right.
The photo shows the incident was reported to police. It is not immediately clear if charges will be filed.
Mm.
Why is there a Bengal tiger roaming free in your house, sir?
What were the two guys?
That's probably not a good idea.
What were the two guys? And one of them just, the last one just passed.
Oh,
recently.
Oh yeah, Siegfried
and Roy.
Roy.
Yeah. So Janet,
it's not the tiger's fault.
Can I take you back?
Okay.
Can you name this tune?
I've got a
tiger by the
tiger
tail.
By yep. Tail,
Buck
the
Owens.
Buck Owens.
Yeah.
Let's listen just a minute.
I won't be much when you get through with me.
For sure.
Well, I'm a losing weight and I'm turning mighty pale.
Uh huh.
Looks like I got a tiger by the tail.
That's right.
You're an old country girl, I know. Not old. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that part.
Thank you. Correct yourself. Yeah. So apparently,
you're a country girl.
the tiger roaming the Houston street caused a little mischief. So yesterday, I'm taking my kayak out of the Maury.
Right, right.
And as
the
I'm
Maury
waiting,
being the river,
the Maury River. Mm-hmm. And as I'm waiting for the guys, because you know they have to get the last of their fishing in. So I'm right, just getting my stuff out. And there's a trail, and there's this older gentleman walking this beautiful dog down the trail, and of course. You know, he knew he wanted me to pet him because right. they all do. And he was 9 months old.
Okay.
He weighed 134 pounds.
Oh, my
He was
gosh.
9 months old. He was a Rottweiler. He
134-pounder?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And he
That's
was...
That's like a Rottweiler.
He was really sweet, but he was huge.
That is big.
And I said, "That's a handsome fella that you have." And he goes, "Yeah. You know, he's not but 9 months old, weighs 134 pounds. I said, "So he walks you," is basically what you're saying, because the guy was older
right.
and kind of frail. I mean, I bet sure. he didn't weigh a buck 30.
Yeah.
And I just thought, how big is that dog going to get? That might not have been a great choice for you, sir. But he was really sweet.
How big can those get? I didn't think got that large.
I had a friend who had... And I think he was pure Rottweiler, right. and he was like 175.
Oh, my goodness, gosh.
Yeah. I mean, he was pretty big. They can get pretty big.
Yeah, that's...
Although it says the weight for the females are usually on the top side 110.
Okay.
The males 130. All this right. boy, maybe he's mixed with something else, but he's definitely going to be
okay.
bigger than that because he's
amazing.
Not even a year old yet.
Yeah, I just didn't realize they got that big.
Yeah, they're pretty massive, but he was sweet. It's a good thing they're sweet.
Yeah. Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
We had a salesperson that owned a Rottweiler, and I would work on Saturday sometimes, and we were kind of glassed in, mm-hmm. so there was a low glassed in area on the
right.
studio, and I saw what I thought was a man mm-hmm. crawling in the hallway, and I had the 9 and the 1 call,
because
why would
go.
Somebody be walking
sure,
through,
sure.
and it was that dog,
oh wow,
and I was like, holy cow, I mean, that was the really big one,
right?
And he was really sweet. But this guy's mother came to visit. He was a single guy,
mm-hmm.
and he gave his mom the bed, and he took the sofa. Apparently, the pup slept in the bed with him. The mother made the mistake of sleeping on his side of the bed.
Right.
His, meaning the dog's.
The dog's,
And
right.
so, like, in the middle of the night, he just rolls her out into the floor.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean,
wow.
If you're that big,
oh,
it doesn't
sure.
take much. Buddy weighs 30 pounds. He can get us out.
Sure.
Sometimes.
My neighbor had a Rottweiler growing up. On the high side of the property, if my brothers in Florida are listening, bought the old mallet house, guys. And this, he had it set up with a piece of leather, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A piece of leather that was maybe half an inch thick and probably 8x8. And he had a hole through it, and he hung it from the tree, and it was up just enough for the dog to jump up and grab it.
And he was
this
swinging.
Dog would jump up and grab it and swing.
Oh, yeah.
The jaw strength on that Rottweiler was amazing.
Unbelievable.
I mean, just sit there and swing.
Which is why it's a good thing that they have good attitudes.
Right, right.
Because if they didn't,
oh wow,
that could end badly.
Yeah, that leather
That'd be worse
could be
than
you.
The tiger story out of Houston.
That's right.
Where they did have a problem.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back with the 8 o'clock hour. Thanks for listening to The Morning Jam. I'm Janet Rose.
I'm Mark Lamb.
I'm not afraid.